We all wait for this glorious day and hope that it comes very soon. The sooner, the better. We heard already a wonderful word, and all were welcomed in the precious name of the Lord. May God bless us, be with us, and reveal Himself to us. Today and tomorrow, I will read a lot from a sermon of Brother Branham and also scriptures to it, and I hope that God will bless us. You all know how it is. When we go out, then we take God's word, the Bible, and preach it. But here at this place, we take ourselves the liberty to also the precious thoughts which Brother Branham expressed in the sermons, to look at them and to take them to heart. Today and tomorrow I will speak moderately. I preached in Africa a bit too mighty, and I totally exhausted myself there, so that I don't feel too well. From the prophet Isaiah 55, it was read already. I would like to read to it verse 10 and verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it.
Zustande gebracht hat, wozu ich es gesandt habe. Lasst uns noch mal beten.
Let us once again pray.
Himmlischer Vater,
Heavenly Father, you, the God of all grace and of all comfort, your word is a holy word, a living word, a word in which is creating power and saving power and healing power. A word that cannot return void. An almighty word that accomplishes for what you send it for. Through your word, everything came into existence, O Lord. You spoke and it happened. You commanded and it stood fast. May you make us still today in your presence and bless us from the riches of your grace. To you we give all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to read from the sermon. The spoken word is the original seed, some things, and as we said, also the necessary scriptures to it. From page 3, I read the last part of the prayer, second passage. And now, O Lord, who separated me from my mother's womb, who has fed me all the days of my life, has brought me to this hour by thy grace, feeling it was thy will that I should explain to the people why that I have acted and did the way I have done. May it be in such a way that people will have a better understanding. Lord, of the peculiarity of thy servants. Grant these things, Father, and these scriptures, and the text, and words that we have written here through the week, praying and studying, may they fall on good ground everywhere they are heard, a ground that can hold them and nourish them. And then all praise shall be given to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that it was on Brother Branham's heart because of the divine commission in this last generation, in the last church age, to bring the last message, as we emphasize it many times, the word of the hour, the promises of God that are meant for the church, for this time. And he took the matter so seriously, and we also see that he noted down scriptures during a week to then read them, to bring them, to settle the church in the word. A man of God will never preach outwardly. He will always preach inwardly. That means he will bring the word. And we believe, as we emphasized many times, that this man of God was a prophet to whom the word of the Lord came, and then he brought it. I have, on the last Saturday, today, a week ago, in Nairobi, there I had a very sad incident in front of 3,000 people. There, people who refer to Branham, suddenly they brought material to the platform, and instead of laying it into my hands, they have laid it into the hands of a man who straight away got very angry, and he made some remarks. But then I straight away could settle it, and I made the damage well again, which could have come up by God's help and grace. We know everywhere where God is at work, there the enemy will try to also do something, to hinder, to discourage. But let us stand firm, persevering, believing the word. And as we said many times, at first we carry the promise. And if it is then so far, then the promise carries us. Then we get into the possession of that what God promised in his word. On page 6 in this sermon, after the scripture from Genesis 1, it's over and again emphasized that every seed brings forth after its own kind. And this will be the subject. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. I read after the scripture. Now I want to begin this morning with my text to use this. The spoken word is the original seed. Now that's what I wish to lay the text on. The spoken word is the original seed. Now if you will notice, God said, let it bring forth of it in his kind. Whatever it was, it must be brought forth of its kind. This is a law of nature, in the earthy and in the spiritual, in the human and in the divine. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And you will see in which depths the Spirit of God led Brother Branham, and how important right this sermon and another one, which were preached before the opening of the seals. I read on. This word of God is eternal. God, being infinite, cannot speak one thing and then later on change it to something else, to a better decision, because every decision of God is perfect. He cannot. Once His word is once spoken, it can never die. It lives on, and can never die, because it is God. His word can no more die than He can die. Therefore we read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The same Word that was spoken in the beginning with His eternal purpose came on over and was made flesh and dwelt among us, God's Word. We will feel and even find out that it was the Spirit of God who has led us throughout all these years over and again into the Word. It is not our merit, neither our knowledge or ability, but the Spirit of God who establishes a direct connection in the true believers to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never bypass the Word. He will always lead into the Word. And this we will see. From page 7, I read then the second passage. Now there's only one way to stop that voice that's wrong. That's to repent. God alone can stop it. We will see how two things will be compared. The Word and that what is being said about the Word. The Word as the original seed and the other as interpretation. It goes on here. If this does not happen, it goes on and meets up with you in eternity. Therefore, God being perfect and His voice eternal, His own voice will have to catch up with it. Therefore, He must be perfect in every decision. For when He once says something, it has to go all the way until the judgment. Then we read the second last passage. Now we know that we are coming to a judgment, that the voice of God is going to catch up with us somewhere, because it was given to every mortal to hear. Ministers are responsible of taking it. And if this voice of God has to catch up with every person, then we've got to hear it, either here or at the judgment bar. So if the church has the voice of God, then you must hear the voice of the church. Here we confidently can stop. We don't need to read on here. The voice of God remains forever His word. And it remains forever what our Lord said. My sheep hear My voice. A stranger they will not follow. True children of God hear the word of God. And the Lord said then, how come that you are not able to hear my words because you are not of God. From page 8, the last third. And now, my brethren, when I say that, I'm meaning not only this little group here this morning, but I'm meaning where these tapes will be sent around the world. Not only a little group. It was a little group to whom it was preached, but it was a great group for whom the preached sermons were meant. The same it is today. We may come together here as a little group, and suddenly we find out that what is happening here in a little measure happens worldwide in a great measure. And also for this, we are grateful to God. Last passage. I believe, if God be the sovereign God, as He is, the eternal one, He has to see to it. It's up to Him. If I want to go to heaven, to His place, it's up to Him to furnish me a place where I'll know what to do. Something that you can lay your hand on and say, this is it. Do you agree with that? He has to take care for it. Otherwise, he would be unjust. God has taken care for it, that we can lay our hand, our finger, onto the scriptures and say, here it is written. This God promised to us. We stand on it by faith. We can place our feet on that what God promised to us. We can lay our hands on it. We can fully rely on it. God will stand to His word. I read the second part. See, you've got to have somewhere that faith can take its resting place. I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, the Bible is the infallible word of God. And I believe that God has watched over His word, that there's not one punctuation out of place. This is a very mighty statement, because many want to add something to the word. But here is a man who said, I believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. And on this we rest. He says also, our faith must rest somewhere. And you all think here on Hebrews 4, Joshua could not lead the people of Israel into rest. Therefore it is written, there is therefore a rest for the people of God. I believe that all to whom God's word was revealed for this time, they rest in it. They don't let themselves be tossed to and fro. They know it is right. They have come to a rest in God. The to and fro stopped. They rest by faith in God. The last passage of page 9. Now, with this faith in the word, I cannot accept any private interpretation. For the Bible states that the Bible is of no private interpretation. Now the Spirit just revealed that. You see? Freshly the Spirit of God admonished him, laying it on his heart that the scripture is of no private interpretation. Most certainly, he thought here on 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He says here, the Spirit just revealed that. I know the scripture, but right now I don't know just exactly where it is. You can note it down. Then you will find it. I think it's in Peter that the Bible is of no private interpretation. Not the Bible. This we know. But how many interpretations were privately added to the sermons of Brother Branham? And the people go into all directions. I read on. Therefore, if the inspired writer said, and if that's wrong, then how much other parts of it is wrong? It's either all right or all wrong. You can't make it nothing else. And this we all believe. There's no other way. It is right from A to Z. I read the last two lines. For me, it is the Word of God where my faith can rest in. For I believe that the Bible is God's program for the people, always has been. Jesus said, the scriptures must be fulfilled. That is, that all that is written in the scriptures. Now bear this in mind, because also you, who you will hear this tape later, you will find out that I, at the end of these tapes, will come back to these things. Everything what is written in the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now let that soak in just a minute. All that's in the scriptures has got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, there you are. It's got to be fulfilled. If it isn't, then it's not the Word of God. Also, this is 100% right. Everything what God promised, this He keeps for sure. Before God gives a promise, before He speaks it out, He has already the thing that He wants to promise. He has it already as a firm part of His plan before Him, and nothing can change on it. It continues here. If this here is not the Word of God, then we are all lost. But if it is the Word of God, then God is absolutely honor-bound. God is the fountain of all honor. He is the beginning of all honor. He is the source of all honor. He is the source of all truth. Therefore, He's got to stand by what He said. And if this isn't God's word, then who is God? But this is God's word. And we know who God is. God is well known at Zion. We are not those who stay in Athens, where there is an altar to an unknown God, but we believe that we know God and are known by God, right? We believe that we recognize God in Jesus Christ and that God has known us in Jesus Christ, that we were reconciled in Him. The last four lines on page 10. I've often said, Maybe my faith won't climb where Enoch climbed, but I certainly wouldn't stand in anybody's way that would climb there. Great faith. Now getting this background, that the reasons why I believe the Bible, and that's where I take my text. Now, the next thing I want to say, that I do not believe the Bible contradicts itself. We also don't believe it. We don't believe that God can contradict himself. This we don't believe. If there is a contradiction, then it's in the thinking of the people, but not in the Word of God. Then it's there where there is no divine revelation. There can be contradiction, but not in the Word of God, and not in them to whom the Word was revealed. It continues here. That's why someone says that Matthew 28:19, where it says, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And Acts 2:38, where it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ," that therein is a contradiction. This is not a contradiction. Can we all say amen to it? This is no contradiction. Just the contrary. This is revelation by the Holy Spirit. Here the commission, there the carrying out. But as some of the divine things that are in particular precious are not found on the surface, that's how it is also with the scripture in Matthew 28. I read the last two lines on page 11. I hope that it's not me who hurts. If there is something that hurts, I'm just trying to say why I believe what I believe, and the way I have acted, the way I have acted, of the things that I have done. I'm trying to show myself to the world that I have done this because this is my conviction. I don't believe that to this Bible not even a single word may be added. Also to this we say amen. Not a single word may be added to this Bible. It continues, whoever is guilty of doing it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. Revelation 22. We all know this evidence and the thoughts. This we don't need to deepen. The last three lines on page 12. Now let me make that real clear for the tapes. Now, after I have told you why I believe the Word and what God said about it and how it should not be added or be taken away from it, I want to go into the dense part of it, to the context of this long text that I have drawn out, and explain to you and show you what happened. Then you can see the reason I believe what I believe. You all know, Paul could say, "I know in whom I believe." And he knew also what he believes, namely God's Word, the Holy Scripture. And we believe that it was the same with Brother Branham. Now watch my text. The spoken word is the original seed. Now I want to prove that. Let us turn now over to Matthew 24, verse 35. And then he comes to this text. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What a statement of our Lord. And Brother Branham emphasized it here. Now on the next page, after this Bible text. Though he be a preacher, see, though he be a church member, all of his life, though he be a bishop or pope, whosoever shall take one word of this, just one word. Do you realize it was one word that Eve doubted that caused all the trouble? Eve doubted one spoken word of God, that it is the truth, and it was the cause for every sickness, every disease, every suffering baby, every hospital to be built, every operation was ever performed, every death that ever died, because one person disbelieved one word. There you are. We see how important to Brother Branham was every word of God. And also we should take the word of God seriously and believe it with all our hearts, believing it also when we don't see the fulfillment yet, because we know what one sees, there's no need to believe it. That's already here. Faith is a confidence, a substance that hopes for that what God promised, but is not seen yet. The last part on page 14. Therefore we believe that it is the Word of God, because the spoken Word of God is the original. Everything that God created, what He spoke into existence, is original. That what He created may not be mixed, otherwise it gets inferior. Also about this, you all read these sermons. He spoke of it in detail. You may not hybrid it. It may not be mixed. It must be left in the original. On the next page, second passage, I'm taking my time, especially for the people who will hear the tapes. I don't want to be in any hurry, but I want to take my time. I don't know what will happen from here on, but I want to bring this to the people, that this message will still live on if God takes me one day from this world. Also for this God has taken care of. He said here, I want that this message lives on, should God take me one day from this world, if I don't live until His coming. This is true. Stay with this word. Remember, every spoken word of God is the original seed. God planted everything in the earth by His word. And as long as you stay with the original seed, it will breed itself right back and reproduce itself again. If he hybrid it, it dies. And Eve, the woman, committed the first hybrid that ever was. Last passage. True life can only come or reproduce itself by its original breeding. Now study that when you will hear the tapes. Think of it already now. The life can only be reproduced by its original breeding. The way it started at the beginning, then it reproduces itself. If it doesn't, it's a hybrid and runs out. Brother Branham then comes to examples. You can all read this sermon again. I just read now the last lines on page 16, and then I continue on page 17. That's why each generation has its own revival. God takes himself a man, grounds him in his word, and starts him out with a message for that age. And as soon as that man is taken off the scene, somebody else catches it and hybrids it. And everything falls totally back. I left out some things here. Earlier, he referred to the time of Wesley and on the various revival times, how God always made a new beginning, but instead that one would walk on in the right direction, a next generation came and already it was organized and one fell back into the old condition. I'll read on now, and here comes something very important. This I have seen today for the first time, because many have asked for Matthew 25 and also about who are the wise and who are the foolish virgins. Here, there seems to be an answer that will go through our marrow and bone. It says here in the passage, didn't he teach that a king one time sent his servant, and then sent another servant, and sent another servant, and so forth, until he finally sent his son? Listen closely now. Each generation received the word of God. The same like with Adam and Eve. At the first crop in the Garden of Eden, it's repeating time and again, half of them lost. There are wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Half of them kept the word of God, the others hybrid it. You see what's all about? About the original seed in the true children of God, who do not hybrid the seed again and mix it, but who receive the word of God just as they heard it, without adding any interpretation to it. I read this again. Half of them lost. There are wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Half of them kept the word of God. The other one hybrid it. Over and again, it went on in the same way. And this down through every age. We will prove it by God's word and by the history here. This is for me a very mighty word. And I dare to say that all true children of God, whether one uses for them the term bride, whether one uses for them the term wise virgins, it doesn't matter right now. But one thing will become clear on them. The Holy Spirit, who inspired and gave the word, and who revealed it now anew and put it upon the lampstand, he will reveal it to us in the original form. And thus we will believe it and receive it, and will not interpret anything, but we will believe God's original word until the end, unless we are foolish. Then we interpret today like this and tomorrow like that. Then we run after this thing today and that one tomorrow. But if not, then the Song of Solomon comes to fulfillment. Draw me and I will run after thee. If it was the bridegroom who is the word, who spoke with us, then we as the bride, in conformity with the Spirit, we will say that what we have been told. Then there has to be a total agreement. The key is given here. The wise virgins, keep as Mary the word of the divine promise in their heart, and they believe it, and they will see it fulfilled. The foolish interpret, hybrid, mix, and then they lose that what they formerly received. An interpretation is never again the original, and never will be. Why did we take our stand so seriously until the last consequence for the word of God? To the sorrow of some, but for the joy of our God. That there are still people on earth who have a connection through the Spirit to the word of God. And let us just say it once to the Lord. God's word has become precious to us. He has made his word great and glorious. It has been twisted long enough. Woe unto the man who now, after the time of twisting and interpretation was over, and the word was revealed in its original, woe unto him who once more twists it and then misleads the people. Here it is exactly shown where the wise and the foolish virgins stand. The wise receive the original word and come to a rest in God. They believe it and they will see it fulfilled. The foolish hybrid and mix, interpret as they like, and they most certainly will not see it fulfilled. Mary could say, I know of no man. This is a nice testimony. In English, it's the same word, man and person. I know of no man. Paul could say, I didn't receive the word from a man or learned it in a lesson, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ I received it. And that was the whole difference. And we believe the same of Brother Branham. He didn't learn it, me also not. I told the scholars what God had to say, and I will continue to say it. Here it is about revelation, about abiding in the word. If ye abide in my word, and my word abides in you, this is the whole secret. And God will still make it great to us. On page 18 I read the last part of the Bible verse from John 3. Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Is that a seed? Every spoken word of God is a seed. That's right. I'm going to prove that just in a minute, where Jesus said so. Every spoken word of God is a seed. Except a man be born again. Why must he be born again? Because he's dead. With the flesh he is in. He is a hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? Because he was born in sin, from Eve's sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. He is a liar to begin with. No matter how smart, educated, whatever more he is, he's a liar. The Bible says he is. Regardless how holy his parents were, he is a liar to begin with. And the only way he can tell truth is say what truth is through his own lips. That's the only way truth can come. Anything contrary to that word, he is a liar yet. You all know, in Romans 4 verse 3 it is written, let God be true, and every man a liar. But a liar is basically also he who doesn't tell the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is God's word. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. And whoever does not preach the word of God in the original way lies to the people of God, also from the pulpit. And what does Paul write in 2 Thessalonians? That strong delusion will be sent to them and they will have to believe the lie because they didn't believe the truth. God wants that we are born again. That means having become true, to then receive in truthfulness the word in us, to believe it wholeheartedly and to also thank him for it. To say nothing anymore what God has not said. And what we say, we want to say it in a way as he said it, without any modification. I know that we would formulate some things differently. This we all know. But we learned to have reverence before God and to say, Lord, the way you have said it, that's how it is right. So, only then, if we say what God has said, when we can say, thus it is written, in the right context, and as he said it, and let it be written down, then comes also over our lips truth, divine truth, namely God's holy word. I read on. That's pretty flat, but that's what God said. That's how it is. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Anything that comes from his lips contrary to deny this word, or put it in some other race or some other generation, or whatever it is, he is a liar. That's exactly. He's got to be born again. Then he sees every word. I read it again. He's got to be born again. Then he sees every word. If a man really in his heart has become a new man, then God has there in the heart, he prepared something so that he can lay his word into the new heart and not filling new wine into old bottles, but new into new, so that the vessel and the content are both new. He's got to be born again. Then he sees every word. Praise God. Then we ask God for a total renewing and new birth by the Holy Spirit, to experience a filling and anointing with the Holy Spirit, to see every word in its significance, in its fulfillment. The only way he can be born again, that the life of God in him produces that life. Now Brother Branham comes to the point. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. As we all come earthy after the first Adam, so we must spiritually of necessity, if Christ is the beginning of the new creation of God, we have to come after him as sons and daughters of God. Let us read on. A seed must have water to grow. If you put a seed into the ground and there is no moisture in the ground, then it's only dust. It won't grow in the dust. Can't. It's got to have a certain percent of moisture or it won't grow. Is that right? See, the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. It must have moisture to grow. We have read here the word from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, last Wednesday night. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And spiritual things must be discerned spiritually. It's not the one who thinks to be spiritual, but the one in whom the Spirit of God could create something new to establish the connection with God. It goes on here, his word is the seed. Now, to prove that, let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and read from verse 11. Let us see whether it's true or not. Let us see if the Bible says that his word is the seed. Let us read from Luke 8, verse 11. Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And earlier, I quickly read the verses that are written before. And there it says that some fell on the wayside and didn't accomplish anything, and some fell upon a rock and withered away because it lacked moisture. That's how it is written here in verse 6. Because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and they choked it. And now it comes. This also stood out to me today. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these words, he cried out loud, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Not at the first three, or how many times it were, but at the last, he cried out, namely with those where the word as the seed fell on good ground and brought forth fruit an hundredfold. At these words, he cried out, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Where is written the same? Seven times in two chapters, in Revelation 2 and 3. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And here, the Lord, right when he came to the point to that group which opened their heart, and the ground was prepared, and the word as a seed could fall into it. When he saw that, then he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." With the others, there was nothing to be done. The seed was there, but it didn't bring forth any fruit. There are people whom God ordained to bring forth fruit, and I hope that we are part of them by grace. Let us read on page 20, approximately in the middle. Jesus is the Word of God, and he was bursted open, his side was opened, so that the life which is inside the seed, that this life which is spirit, water, flowing over, when the Spirit comes over the seed of God, it will bring forth the life of the seed. If it brings forth something else, then there is some other kind of seed there. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, and if it's the seed, it's watering, then it will produce the life of the seed. Is this clear? He produces the life of the seed, for that's why he is given for. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and that Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and his Word is one and the same. What was he? He was the seed. Also to this we will still come, maybe also Brother Branham. When the Lord gave the first promise, what was it? It dealt with the seed of the woman who would come to bruise the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ was this seed of God, and he bruised the head of the serpent. He redeemed us and delivered us to take us out from this mortality and finally bring us again back into the immortality. On page 21 in the middle, this life comes upon the original seed, upon his true church, and through the birth, through the womb of his bride, it brings forth life again. Life, new life, shall come forth over and again. It's like a womb. Our heart is the reception place to receive the word of the Lord and also to keep it. But it brings forth new life. I read on. Oh, it is rich and glorious. I will give you a little time to study so that it will sink in. He is the seed. He is that seed that was produced by the Word of God. Be it unto me according to thy word. There's the seed. See, receiving the word. Something glorious, unspeakable deep and true. As the divine seed, at first in the form of the word of promise, was brought to Mary, so to us, the divine seed of the word in the form of a promise is brought. Blessed is the one who believes, who received, who we didn't mix, but who we can simply say, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me as you said. There is the seed, because the word was received, not mixed. I know of no man, of no person, an encounter with him who brought the promise. That's how it is with us. I believe that God has pulled us away from the mouths of the people, and that we may sit at the feet of Jesus to hear from his mouth his loving words. We may and cannot any longer listen to people. If we heard him once, then everything else bounces off from us. Then his word has become more precious to us than everything else here on earth. It's like a rich source, like a treasure that we found. May God keep us his word, and may God keep us in his word. Then we will experience the completion. I read on. Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and the Word is one and the same. And that's why it was so made manifest in him so perfectly. That's the reason that God manifested himself so perfectly in Jesus. Because he was the seed word, the germ word itself. The germ that's inside the seed, that's the life in the seed. You get it? He was the germ word of God. The germ is the spirit. The germ is the water. Jesus had to be broken open there in order for that seed to let forth its life, to water other seed that was coming. Do you see? If I would ask you now, very personal, and would not only read, do you get it? I don't know how loud the amen would be. But we just say, yes, even though it's not so clear yet, it gets clearer. It goes from clarity to clarity and from glory to glory. In every seed, there's somewhere a germ through which new life comes forth. And thus, Brother Branham wants to express here, was it also with our Lord? It continues here. In this text, they are going to get that word and stay right with it. I'm sending forth the Spirit to water it, and it will produce just exactly the same. It will produce miracles. It will produce the power of God. It will produce everything, and will not deny anything, because it's a kindred seed with him, the seed. You most certainly noticed, Brother Branham said it in one sentence, his seed was opened, and just like it was with Adam, when his side was opened, Eve was taken out from him. And then she was given back to him. And he said, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. And thus the side of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God, was opened on the cross to out of him, the divine seed, to take out the whole divine seed, all sons and daughters of God, to redeem them, to ransom them. We are of him and will be like he is when we will see him, when he returns to take his own home. This is the lot of the bride. And don't forget this thought in your life and tell it to everyone. The true, the wise virgins will keep the word of God in the original form. They will not interpret. They will believe and come to a rest in God. From page 22, on top, the two lines. Do you see what I mean? He is the germ that came forth from the seed. He is the Word of God made perfectly manifest. The next passage. Wait till we get into the bride with that. That's the reason I believe what I believe. It's got to come back to this word. This applies to me still today. That what I believe must be found in this word. And then I know why I believe it. Namely, because God has said it. Therein is then the faith anchored in. Next passage. You can't be a seed and disagree with the word, because the word is the seed. And if you are the word, how can you disagree with it? You would be disagreeing with yourself. You would be defeating your own purpose. Yes, that's how it really is. If we are of the word seed, then we have to agree with the word. If we have an opposing attitude, how shall then the word be fulfilled on us? Last passage. It was him, therefore God could work through him. What did he say when he was here on earth? I do nothing unless the Father shows it to me first, perfectly. And anything he done always was vindicated by the scriptures. He said, search ye the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And if I don't do the things that they said they did, then I'm not that original seed. But if I do these things, why don't you believe me? Also, these words we can take to heart. I'll just read briefly before we come to a close. On page 23. That's why Jesus was so perfectly manifested. God was so perfectly manifested in Jesus, because he was the Word of God. He was God's Word. That's the reason it couldn't produce nothing but just exactly God. And if God is in you, what more can you be? Didn't Jesus say of the prophets who the Word of God came to? Then the next passage, I'm that seed that was to come, the woman's seed. To the serpent had already defiled her, he said, but thy seed that I will give you shall bruise his head. He will take that thing back again. Amen. I just wish everybody could see that. I've come to conquer and correct what Eve done. The only way I can do it is through a woman that believed the seed, where a woman didn't believe the seed. A woman believed the word, where one didn't believe it. I'm that overcomer. I am the one that's come to give life, that through my death to pay the penalty of what she done. Through my life will be given to you to flow over you, and you will be sons and daughters of God as long as the seed is in there. We believe with all our heart that God has laid the seed of His Word into us. We believe that the words of promise apply to us, and we believe that they may not be mixed, and by the wise virgins they are not mixed. They will receive God's Word as the original seed in them and wait patiently until that what God promised will truly take place. I just have to read two more passages, maybe three. All sons of God, on page 24. All of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken Word again, like in John 3. To be born of the water and the Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place of where you should have been at the beginning. See? That's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to be sons of God. The next passage. This brings you right back to the spoken Word. Then we are God's Word made manifest. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, and who I am, and what I came for, and the purpose I do, to bring a man back to believe the Word of God, and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, he will do also. There you are. I believe that right at the end we will not stand as fools. We may now wait for some time, and it seems long for us. And not only that, but difficult also. But it will be worthwhile to wait without mixing, without interpreting, but really to wait until the hour of God comes. And then God will vindicate His original Word. As we read it before, God, the source of all honor, is duty-bound to His Word. And if we carry it, then we have a right on it to count with the fulfillment of that what God promised. There's no other way. It just belongs to the faith. And we don't believe just something. We believe that, what God has said. The four last lines. All right. We notice then that it is about the spoken Word. Then we are God's Word made manifest. That's how God wants His church, that He can manifest Himself. How can He manifest Himself unless His own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest Himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, so, all own things, having put off, leaving it behind, all own imagination, every thought, everything, coming to a rest in God, carrying His word in the heart, believing as the scripture says, and counting with it that He fulfills it. Jesus, who was the Word made flesh, in Him every word of promise was also confirmed. And so Brother Branham sees the church at the end, who is this word seed and who received the word of promise, so that every promise that is still outstanding can be fulfilled. Last passage for tonight, on page 25 at the bottom. If a person has the word of God in him, and it is watered by the Spirit of God, then he will do the same works that Jesus did. He was the original seed of God, and by his death, you were brought back to the original seed of God. If the same Spirit who was in him is in you, then the same works will be manifest. You don't believe that? Then let us look up John 14, verse 12. But we believe it, because the Lord said it. And we believe it regardless, although we don't see it yet. In that moment where we see it, we don't need to believe it anymore. Then we will jump like the young calves. Now our faith has to prove itself. Perseverance, patience, and everything what goes with it. But God, who gave the promise, He is faithful. He will fulfill it. As certain as God's word was manifest in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and was fulfilled, so certain the word of promise will be fulfilled on all the redeemed. Thanks be to God for His word. Thanks be to God for such a sermon. I believe it helped us. It strengthened us, giving us light and clarity, being newly assured to abide in the word and to add nothing else to it, so that we have part in that what God will still do. Praise be to His name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, we thank you together for your precious and holy word. We thank you together, Lord, for your servant and prophet whom you have sent, Lord, to put your word upon the lampstand, to receive it as it is written, Lord. Lord, we don't want to add anything and take nothing from it. Help your people, help me. Be merciful to all of us, that we take your word to heart, that we don't interpret it, but that we believe it, Lord, from the depth of our hearts. We worship you and thank you, Lord, that tonight you have fed us, you gave us drink, that we could hear, Lord, my God, and may our ears not have been closed, Lord. May we have been open, Lord, that we could hear what had to be heard, and that we received what had to be received. Receive the glory and receive the praise and the worship, Lord. Lord, you are so wonderful. You revealed yourself so wonderfully. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.